VentureCast.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Quantum Leap Your Business and Life podcast. My name is Bethany London, and I am an energetic VC supporting CEOs and entrepreneurs in multiplying revenues and opportunities of their business through intuitive guidance and energetic healing. I am obsessed with finding and releasing blocks so that you can start receiving the guidance and opportunities that will be bringing you quantum leaps with ease. If you are looking to upgrade your business, life, spirituality, or need a perspective shift to flow, you've come to the right place. Leave it to me to pull out the juicy stories, quantum leap hacks, and how our inspiring guests have tackled obstacles and gotten into the flow to reach new heights of success. My intention is to bring clarity and massive awareness that infinite possibilities are everywhere. Your next moment could be a miraculous one. Thank you for being on this journey with me. Let's uncover their strategies, have fun, and see how we can quantum leap together. All right. I am so excited to be here today with Heather. I was introduced to her from a mutual friend who was like, I just really feel like you need to meet my friend Heather. You guys have a lot to talk about. And as I learned more about her, I'm like, oh my goodness, I need to interview you for my podcast because she is quantum leaping in business and life. In fact, she's quantum leaped and now is figuring out the balance of it all.
Right.
Right. As you continue to expand.
Exactly.
Yeah. So let's have you, share with us about the magic that is you. What are you creating and bringing to the world?
So just, I'll tell a little bit about my background and what I do. Originally was trained as a registered dietitian. So I went to, school many years ago, but then, I went right into that after college and worked a lot with eating disorders and people's relationship with their food, and their body. A lot of us go into that field because we have our own issues. So that was a way for me to heal myself. And then back in 2004 is when I actually got introduced. I was working with an endocrinologist and started to become passionate about essentially functional medicine, which if people don't know what that is, it is using therapeutic doses of nutrients and or botanicals to treat and prevent disease versus using pharmaceuticals. So functional medicine and hormones and how the endocrine system works kind of became I just became passionate about it and I wanted to learn everything. And so 18 years later, I guess, I am really, fully versed in that. I have a thriving practice.
Yeah, she does. It's hard to get her to even text you back.
This is true. And that's where I'm working on my balance a little bit more, obviously.
Yeah.
But, and I think that, what I really essentially do is help patients become healthier, I deal with a lot of people that have fallen through the cracks of the conventional medical system. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that, just to be a little bit more specific, is that, the entire medical model, which I, by the way, was trained in, by proxy, right, working with physicians. But then I also went to ongoing education and learning about the integrative approach you learn to look at the patient as a whole person. And when you look at conventional medicine and the way that doctors are trained, and even my good friends and my supervising MD will tell you this, this is just, we don't learn this stuff. This is how we're learned. We are taught and sort of, you know, drilled into our brains, but it's all about ruling out, right? Ruling out what it isn't and then treating the symptoms. So, yeah. Whereas what I do is the opposite. It's really getting to the source of the problem and going from there. And I think that you can relate to that because obviously when we're healing people, we're going, you know, want to go to the root, right?
Exactly.
That's why they're such a compliment, because I do believe that both, you know, all of these modalities are so important to someone's health overall. It's not just the empirical data, right, that you see and you can check, although that is important. It gives me a lot of information. It's also very important to look at, you know, the connections to our emotional experiences, our traumas, and what areas have we not worked out yet, right? And because I was like,
I got a story.
Yeah. Go for it.
I mean, so at the age of 30, I was getting divorced and I'm like, TMI, I don't think we're just going to go there. I hadn't had my period for a year during that process. And my friend's like, I think you really need to go to the doctor. So I go to the doctor and she's, was really awkward with me when normally she's super friendly and communicative. And then it turns out that she was concerned about what she was going to say to me. So she wanted to triple check like my blood work or something with somebody. And so later that afternoon, which she didn't tell me, but later that afternoon, I got a call from the doctor and she's like, so I just don't think you're ever going to be able to have kids. And I'm 30 and I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? And then I was referred to a naturopathic doctor who specialized in hormones and went and saw her. And she's like, no, you don't have it's a PCOS or whatever. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. PCOS.
I didn't have that. So she was like, we just need to take out stress from your life. And at the time I was moving to LA, I'm like, no guarantee.
Right.
I'm making a life move right now. But she had me doing like concoctions, tinctures with the moon, acupuncture, doing blood work. Like, and then we got to the point where my blood work had shifted. And then I checked a year later and it's like, okay, you get pregnant. I'm like, okay, great. Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And you know, I've heard that more than once about PCOS, which, and for people who are listening that don't know what that is, it's polycystic ovarian disease, which sounds way more scary than it actually is. But I've had many doctors tell patients, and I think it's really kind of irresponsible to do that because there are plenty of women who have, all it means is you have one or many tiny cysts on or near your ovaries, right? Mm. And so that doesn't necessarily mean that you can't ever have kids. I mean, I know people that have had that and they still go on to have normal pregnancies. So, I mean, I just think that's a little, it can traumatize people when a doctor.
Well, I could have taken the doctor's information as truth and that would have been it had I not had the guidance to go somewhere else and get a second opinion, you know?
That's right. So. And a lot of people, you know, don't have the wherewithal to do that. They just don't think there's an option. You know, if you're not, you know, very familiar with the world of health and you trust your doctor, why would you go to somebody else? You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of people that don't often see those options. So, or know about them. So I would say more so where we live and in big cities, there's more options that way. The different types of healers and such. I mean, but you know, you go to rural Alabama and you say, oh, I'm going to go to a healer. I mean, they'll think you're a little bit nutty, you know? So, you know, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. So I'm curious, how did the passion lead to like hormones? And is that when I'm curious also, if there's a correlation to you finding that passion to your business expanding?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I just found it to be a system that was very interesting because it's got so many different parts to it. I mean, it's not just the sex hormones. There's also obviously insulin and our glucose and insulin regulation.
Right.
And, but all of these things really, I mean, and the other part of that is that we've got a country that's full of, you know, basically a pandemic full of pre and diabetic type 2 patients because of how we eat in this country, and how we, don't take care of ourselves. I mean, just, I'm a big believer in food as medicine. And if you're eating, two large meals, one of them fast food, daily, I mean, which is what a lot of people have access to, unfortunately, I mean, I think that, you and I both know that our clientele is a little bit more perhaps savvy and learned in terms of they just are more well educated in bigger cities. You get a big, and open. Yeah, that's a big part of it too. But to answer your question, I mean, what really I think the key for me is helping people really feel good in their bodies. And we want to do that as naturally as possible. And so there's nothing like helping somebody who has been to 3 or 4 different doctors, 2 of them specialists, and the doctors have told them there's nothing wrong with you. And then they come and they get an evaluation, and obviously there's something wrong, but it's just, again, it goes back to how is the clinician, what are they testing and how are they interpreting it? I mean, these are all very important aspects of when you see patients. I mean, and a lot of times when you're seeing a doctor, they have their little slice that they're looking at. They're not looking at the entire picture. So, and I always am a believer that if you don't ask the questions, you won't know the answers, right, to patients. Mm-hmm. So I will spend, an extraordinary amount of time with patients just getting to know them. And then if they've had, because I originally, when I first got in the first, 10 years of my practice was all like disordered eating. So that's kind of the foundation. Anyway, people have a relationship to their food, whether they eat to live or live to eat. Right. So it's a specific relationship. And, I don't think that it's any big secret that many women, young and old, and everything in between, and including men, struggle with their body image and with, disordered eating, not necessarily that they have a clinical, disorder like anorexia or bulimia, but maybe fall in between the cracks, and that they just aren't, it's all based on their beliefs. So when my passion is to really help people feel in their bodies, right, to reconnect mm-hmm. to their bodies. Because that's
I'm like mine too. I love that.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's one of the the big things that I was trained in originally, which is the ability to help people reconnect to their physical intuitive hunger and to know when they're satisfied. Because, if you look at when we're a baby, when we're infants, we're all born with this intuitive eater in us. Let's just call it. I mean, it's a natural occurring phenomenon. Our first experience with food is either the bottle or the breast, which is a nurturing thing. So we have this emotional hunger and physical hunger that is somewhat intertwined. And that generally is, it's pretty well, I would say, set intuitively until the child becomes socialized or there becomes environmental or cultural, but environmental influences that cause them to start to use food. Or there might be a power struggle with the parent. That's the other thing too, that when parents, try to control the food of their kids too much, that can create problems. So,
I'm just thinking of a baby crying means feed it.
Correct.
Exactly. Which maybe they're communicating that they're hungry, but maybe you're also just trying to shut them up, quote unquote, here's some food. So I can see how that would create emotional stuff.
Yeah. And then also, the idea, that's what I would tell my patients, when you were little, you cried when you were hungry, you pushed the bottle or breast away when you were done. I mean, that's when, mm-hmm. When babies are done because they just don't eat anymore. Right. I mean, but we lose that. I mean, I can't tell how many people that I see and they come in and they're like, I want to plan. I want to be able to know what to do, what to eat. And it's not that I don't provide that because people need guidelines and they need boundaries, but it's more about helping them just to reconnect. And I can say for myself that just through my training, I mean, it changed my life. I never thought about, how hungry am I and where am I at? I use a hunger scale. So I use the 0 to 10, like a pain scale, same numbering, 0 to 10, 0 is ravenous, 10 is sick, full. And it took me a few months to kind of tune that in and sort of hone that tool, but it literally changed how I ate, because I was brought up, you know, in the Midwest, we ate 3 big meals a day. It was just breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And you kind of got what you could get in at those meals. So I was accustomed, it was just a habit to, you know, eat until I was full, or some people have cleaned the plate, you know, clean the plate, like starving kids in China.
Yep.
You know, all the, and waste, you know, there's a lot of reasons why people learn to overeat. And then just being in America, you know, we have such huge portions. So there's food everywhere. The availability is great. Now, some people grow up with scarcity, right, with food. And so then they'll carry that on. In fact, I'm thinking of someone in particular who he grew up that way, where there wasn't food security in his home because his mom wasn't the best provider that way.
Yeah.
And so to this day, if there's like a buffet or there's all this food, he just overeats. I mean, he eats until he can't eat anymore.
Yeah.
And even though you intellectually maybe can become aware of that, changing that pattern requires tools, and it requires also obviously the consciousness and the mindfulness to do so.
Yeah. Do you work with a lot of men? I'm just curious.
I do. I work with probably about 40% men, 60% women. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They don't talk about it as much, I think, you know.
Yeah. But how do you end up with all your clients? Is it basically word of mouth?
Oh,
I'm curious. Yes.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah, it is all word of mouth. I've actually never really advertised or anything. I mean, I have entire families like that, because, you know, it's like, oh, I want you to see my mom and I want you to see my sister. And I find that to be, you know, the best way. That's really how I've built it throughout the years. Because I worked with alongside doctors for nearly, you know, 20 years. Well, not, I mean, almost like 15, 16 years. And then I went off on my own in around 2014. And it's been, you know, that's been a whole learning experience, you know, going from being inside of a practice and being part of a team to being the one in charge. Right. So I do have a physician that I have as a supervisor, right? So we do chart reviews and such, so I can do all the things that I like to do. But like order blood and, you know, obviously we can do prescriptions for them if necessary. But the truth is that it's, you know, every patient is different. And, you know, I would say that the majority of my patients are, you know, probably, I mean, if you were like a median, is probably anywhere from 35 to 65, and men or women that are just looking to be healthier. Some people are sick, but, you know, or they come in with diagnosis, but a lot of people just, or they're not getting the answers. They're not getting, they feel like something's off. They know their bodies. That's the other thing, is like, I really do trust my patients, you know, like they've had doctors tell them, oh, it's all in your mind. And when I tell them, no, it's not, you know, and they'll be in tears because they feel like, my gosh, I knew something was, you know, off. And again, validation. It goes, yes. Yeah. And because, you know, I know my body, you know, your body. I mean, and maybe, you know, women are, I think men are fairly tuned in, but I think women are maybe a little bit more tuned into their bodies, just because, you know, we have monthly cycles. There's more to tune in about. We just have more complex hormone systems. So, you know, I think that there's a lot of elements involved in treating patients, and no two people are alike. I think that's the bottom line.
So I'm curious about your journey of starting. So leaving the team to starting on your own, did you just start reaching out to people? What was that process like?
You like building it, you mean, my practice? Mm-hmm. Yeah. In fact, well, I had been working in the Palisades for about 6 years, running sort of in charge of this doctor's program and her hormone program. And I saw a lot of nutrition and hormone patients there. And I had wanted to leave for a while. It wasn't the best, healthiest environment. You know, there's always something in environments when you go in. And it just was like, it happened over a weekend where I just finally just made a decision. And I did have a friend, like a colleague who didn't have a practice, and he was sort of an independent MD. So I asked him, would you be my supervising physician and, you know, work with me with these patients? Because basically I had all these relationships with the patients up in my practice in the Palisades. So I essentially called them all in, you know, that Monday and said, listen, I've left, I'm no longer there, and I would love to continue to work with you. So I really did bring that clientele with me because I had been working with them for 6-7 years.
So did you have like a breaking or a turning point for that, like that leap?
I did. I did. I had just finally had, you know, it was just enough. And there were other things. Yeah. I mean, it's all silly drama, but I mean, I just didn't want to get involved in it. You know, I was done. And yeah, when you have somebody that you're working with that you've really supported, I mean, truly, you know, I did all I could to build that business and did a great job. But it, you know, when somebody starts to try to undercut you and starts, you know, canceling appointments and things like that, it was like, what am I doing here? You know? And, you know, people've got egos, they've got issues, whatever. And I, you know, I just decided that's enough. And it literally, it was so funny because the weekend, I was just telling this to one of my clients who I recommended this particular book to. There's a famous book. It's her name is Pamela Grout, I believe. And she wrote E-Squared. Have you heard of that?
Yes.
It's
I'm like, wait, I know that name. Yeah. Great book. So, I read both of them.
Yes. So she has, cause she has just a follow-up to that. Yeah. And it's a great book for people who don't understand the concept of manifestation, right? I mean, that's why it became a New York Times bestseller. I mean, I thought it was spelled out. So I had given it to one of my clients, actually. I told them to, you know, get the audio, download the audiobook last week. And I was telling them, you know, that weekend I did one of the first exercises that I did was in that book. And it was like, I wrote in there to, you know, have my own practice. And it was like, it all transpired within like a few days. So So that was a quantum leap that, you know, even though I was thinking, yeah, I want to get out of here, I didn't, you know, it just kind of happened. And so, I just, you know, and all the things came into place. I was able to find an office to sublease, to start seeing patients. And then, from there, it just grew. So I was very fortunate. And even some of the patients that didn't come with me or, you know, follow me ended up following, whether it was a year or two later, because they knew that, I mean, they really did value what I did and how I worked. Yeah. And I really focus on the relationship with the patient, and I'm a good listener, and I also know what I'm talking about. So, you know, I think that trust is an important part of this, right? You know, anytime you see somebody that, you know, especially when you're dealing with their vulnerabilities, whether it be physical health or emotional health. Yeah. Or both.
I feel like sharing this. I heard this, I think it was yesterday, and I loved it because as an energetic healer, you know, service, you and I are both offering services. So, but there's also the back end of servant or servitude. So service, apparently, I'm like, I love this, is the energy of love and joy. Cause you don't even know that you're in service when you're doing it. It's just like so natural and beautiful.
That's right.
And when you're in service from like a forced place, it's more of the servant energy or the servitude. And so that's like energy that needs to be cleared. Cause
100%. I couldn't agree more.
I thought that was so cool yesterday when I'm like, yes, I love that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that you can attest to your own, when you're in your zone, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like no time, right? So
and people are feeling that love from you. They're feeling the compassion from you. So from that, I can see why it would be so expansive.
Yes. Yeah. That's, I mean, you have a client that you connect with that way. It's like, that's invaluable currency because it's authentic. Right. And it's not about getting anything back. You know, it's really, truly about offering up what you can by being a receptacle to listen and to understand and to have empathy, but then also to help them affect change if need be. So I think that that is love and joy.
Yeah.
You know? and practice. Oh,
so good. Well, and like, she's built this beautiful business, thriving business, and she's done it with, not through social media. Like,
I know.
I think I looked at her Instagram. I don't think she's posted in like a year or two or three, I don't know.
It's a while. Yeah. It's been some time. Although I'm supposed to be doing that more, like, you know, my girlfriend reminds me, just do it every day. Like after you see a client, yeah,
just like, drop, you know, a little.
And I think it's good to keep that connection with people, like, and yeah, you know, keep yourself up to date, but you know, cause there's so much to share. It's just that I'm often seeing patients back to back all day. So,
well, and I'm really looking to portray to whoever's listening that like it how natural it is.
Yeah.
How natural it can be.
Oh my gosh. Know? So natural. Yeah. I mean, the quantum leaps, right? In business, mm-hmm, and building and expanding. I mean, it really, I think one of the most important things, I was interviewed not too long ago for this online magazine. They were asking me, what are three things you would give for advice to someone who's starting their own business or someone who's building something? And one of the first things is love what you do. You know, I mean, really love what you do. If you don't have a vested interest in what you are, you know, providing or selling or involved in, you know, it's going to fall flat. I mean, people feel that. So having a passion, I mean, and you know, that seems obvious, but a lot of people don't follow that. You know, they're looking to make more money in a particular job because of, you know, it's a higher paying job. But if so I think that that's one thing. I'll tell you the other two if you want to. The second thing,
I'm going to ask my own version. So we'll see if it all lines up, but it probably does. Cause I always ask, what three keys do you have for quantum leaping?
Do you ask? Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah. So you're just ahead of the game. It's beautiful. You're so intuitive.
So the love what you do. The second one is, do what you say you're going to do, follow through with tasks, like really, you know, be authentic to your word. I mean, I think that, you know, whether that's, you know, if you have a client and you know, making sure you do follow up and say, you know, saying thank you, or depending on what your business is, for me, it's all about how are things going? Any issues, any changes since we last met? But those are the most important things. I mean, people really do appreciate that. So, you know, staying true, like just follow through, you know, don't leave things open-ended, really keep that. And I had to learn that too. I mean, in terms of running a business, you know, that didn't come naturally. I mean, you know, a lot of people who are in our field of health or wellness or healing, we don't have business skills. I mean, you know, not necessarily. We've spent a long time practicing and learning what we're doing. It's a different world. It's like almost like needing, you know, so I've had a lot of mentors along the way to help me learn skills, like how to keep my clients, you know, on a rotating schedule, like calendaring them to make sure that they're coming back regularly, et cetera. And so that's part of it. And then the third thing is, I think be willing to ask for help. You know, that's, you know, I have kind of learned in my own process in the last, especially the last 5 to 6 years, you know, delegating. When I built my business, I really built it myself. And so, you know, I learned, had to, instead of having like the office lady schedule the appointments and this and that, and I had to do all the bookkeeping. Oh, I had to do everything. And so, you know, that learning that and doing it yourself, you got to do that right initially to know what's going on in your business. But then you, at a certain point, in order to grow, you have to ask for help, right? And you have to delegate. And that was hard for me. I mean, that was not an easy task because I was a control freak about getting things done right. And also my patients are like my babies. So like, I'm like, I don't want anybody to like say something wrong, you know, or
totally.
so that was a process. And even the, my first assistant that I was working with, she said, you gotta let go and let me just trust me a little bit. And she helped me cause she could see I was withholding a little bit. So that was big for me. And I don't think that is an easy thing for a lot of people. It's just in general. I mean, to ask yeah. for help means that you're vulnerable, whether that's in business or in personal, in your personal life. So those yeah. are my top three things, I think. Hard work, you know, is part of that following through, you know.
Following through. No, I love that. I think it's important. I have a huge thing of also, if someone comes to me, I reach out. Like I figure there's a reason that yeah. like their name just popped into my head. So I'll just reach out.
I agree 100%.
Like, I don't know what's going
all
on.
All the time. That's energy.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
you know, it's a signal. People emit yeah. signals. I mean, it happens to me 10 times a day with patients. I'll be thinking yeah. about them. And, oh, I got to get a hold of them. Their chart's on my desk. And I'm like, they text me.
Yeah. You know? Energetic so, calling. I love yeah. it. Or synchronicity calling.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
One last question I have for you, because I think it's always just so fascinating, is I'm curious how your childhood supported you in where you're at right now.
Oh, that's a good question. So my childhood supported me. Well, I think that it's interesting. I have two brothers and we're all mm-hmm. in the service industry, actually. Oh, okay. And which is interesting. I mean, we grew up, my father owned a grocery store. And so we did work in his store from a young age. So, you know, I mean, that's just sort of logistically, I'm thinking that's, I learned about service and customer service mm-hmm. and being of service. And it was definitely my nature. I mean, not everybody is cut out for that. Trust me. I mean, there are people that just should not be, you know, interacting with patients, you know, yeah. but they're great at doing other things. Right.
Right. Right.
It, you know, but I also think that, you know, I grew up in a, like a lot of Americans, you know, somewhat dysfunctional family, but also traditional. My father worked, my mother was at home. There was definitely some alcohol abuse in my home. So that created a sense of, I think, anxiety and insecurity in myself. And just mm-hmm. also that, you know, if you look into, I mean, if people listening, I mean, I've done so much work in this area and have, you know, obviously like being a child of adult child of an alcoholic, you learn that it's hard for us to ask for help because we had to take care of everything and manage it mm-hmm. ourselves when we were growing up. So to give that power up is also hard. So that's part of why I think my path was to learn to ask for help and not say, I can handle it. I got it covered, you know, and also to reprogram my thinking, because when you grow up in an alcoholic home, you're always waiting for the other shoe to drop. I mean, it's just kind of how people grow up. And if yeah, you
walking are on listening, eggshells,
yeah, yeah, all of that. And if you've mm-hmm. grown up that way, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You can't really express that to explain it to people who've never experienced it, 'cause it's just their normal. And right. so that's where I had to reprogram, like, you know, and learn to like be okay with like that things were going well and that I was feeling good for long periods of time and not having to self-sabotage or expect things to fall apart. Right.
Right.
So those are pretty big influences, but if you can identify those patterns, if you will, or learned yeah. behaviors, you can shift them. That's where you come in too, because you can really clear out some of the mm-hmm. old beliefs and patterns. Yeah. You know, I think that all of our choices are based on that. You know, what are our underlying beliefs and values? Right. Totally.
Yep. Yeah.
So
cool.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah, I was married to an alcoholic, so that's how I know that one.
Oh, right. So you know the whole situation.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So fun.
Yeah. So much fun.
So many lessons learned.
Yes.
So grateful.
And that's the thing.
Yeah.
You just want to keep learning. I mean, I do. I mean, I will. Mm-hmm. I'm just, yeah. I am insatiable that way. And I feel mm-hmm. like some days I don't know anything. Other days I feel like, wow, this is what wisdom is like. You know, as you get older, like you actually yeah. understand wisdom, because you wouldn't have the knowledge without having all those years experience.
Experiences, so, yeah.
But you just have to, you know, keep pushing forward. And I think all about, you know, paying attention to your inner voices, like your inner talk, self-talk, because most people, if they are aware of it, they don't do anything but just listen to it, right? And, you know, even when I was, you know, when I worked with people with eating disorders, I used the model of the little child in us, okay?
Yeah.
Like the, our little girl or little boy that, you know, they're doing a behavior to cope because they learned that as a way to cope. But as an adult, it's no longer working for us, right? So, but they keep finding themselves in the same situation over and over because they say, well, yes, I know this, but, and it's because they have no tools to deal with that. So it's literally, in my experience, it's about developing a relationship to that part of yourself. Because for years in my own experience, I tried to get rid of that, that voice.
Yeah.
Like I wanted to cut it off or get rid of it, but that's not the, I had to actually sit down with it and say, okay, we got to have a relationship. That's right. That's right. So, it's powerful stuff. It's powerful stuff.
Totally. Love the inner child work.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I think you guys can all see what a caring, compassionate soul Heather is and why she affects so many people in such beautiful ways.
Thank you.
And yeah, so blessed to have you on the show today.
It's so great to be here.
I mean, I think we covered all of it. Quantum leaping in business and life. That's what we're all about.
Yes. Quantum leaps. Believe in it. I mean, you don't, there's, you don't
That's
have
a
to
huge part of it right there. Believing it in it. The possibility.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't think about how it's going to happen. Just believe that if you can see it, right. And you can, you can feel all the aspects of what that is going to be like. It can happen in a day or a month or a week. I mean, there's no limit and you don't even have to know how, because the universe will take care of that. Right.
Yes. Infinite possibilities in every moment. So
agreed.
Good. All right. Well, you are amazing.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so fun.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you loved what you heard, be sure to subscribe and let me know by leaving a review on iTunes. It fuels me to keep bringing you more juicy guests. And if you aren't already following me on social media, check out at Bethany London on Instagram, L-O-N-D-Y-N, that's a cool factor, or go to BethanyLondon.com for healing opportunities, courses, and additional thoughts. And don't hesitate to create some IG stories tagging me and our guests with your favorite quotes so we can reshare them. I can't wait to connect with you in the next episode. And in the meantime, wishing you that quantum leap.
Welcome to the Candle Power Hour. Come with us backstage behind the scenes of show business spanning over four decades and bringing you the experiences that can only be told by the people who were there.
Our guests are from the A-list, the F-list, and everyone in between. Get set for some of the most insane, hilarious, and inspiring stories you will ever hear.
I'm Mercury.
And I'm Diego.
Your host for the Candle Power Hour.
Welcome to Ringside with Ray and Prince. My name is Ray Leonard Jr.
Oh, is that the chair? No, that's just my dad.
My name is Prince Daniels Jr.
Daniels again with a big home touchdown.
On this show, we come to humanize
athletes, entertainers, business executives. We're going to see what makes them tick.
Tuesdays, 10 a.m. Pacific time on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll see you there. Peace and power.
Electric Acid.
Electric Acid.